Well, I'm grateful to be here again with all you different ones, my loved ones, my family, my friends. This is a dear place to me. You all know that. I feel especially blessed to be able to be back home again this year. This has been a good year for me. I've been back here 3 or 4 times. I have a little message today. I'm grateful that we serve a Lord that cares about us. I'm grateful that we serve a Father that knows where we are and that He is willing to call us by name, to reach down where we are with whatever situation we face in life. We all are in different situations. We all find ourselves in circumstances that are unique to us. Sometimes we feel like they're more unique than what they really are. But the Lord knows about those situations. He cares about us. And He is going to do everything He can to get us to heaven if we'll let Him. Scripture says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I take great comfort in that verse. I'd like to read a passage this morning out of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and this is talking about Elijah, and just a little background before we get started so you know where Elijah has been. Prior to the 19th verse, this is where Elijah had gone out, and you remember he approached all of the prophets of Baal. And he challenged them that if they served the real God, that their God would send fire down and consume their altars. And then he was going to do that and put an altar there. And so you remember the story that they agreed to that challenge. And so they all got together out on the I don't know if they're on a hill or in the plains or exactly where they were, I don't remember what's said. And he let them go first. And so there was a great number of them. There was a great multitude of the prophets of Baal. And they all got together and they built their altars and their sacrifices and they began calling on their gods to come down and consume the sacrifice. Well, did anything happen? Nothing happened except that the people that were calling on their gods to come consume the sacrifice, they're the ones that got hurt. They hurt themselves because of the choices that they had made, the gods that they were choosing to serve. They became so desperate because the answer was not coming like they had wanted it to come. They began inflicting damage to their own bodies. You remember that? They began cutting themselves. They began saying, well, maybe if we pray louder, maybe if we go a little further, maybe if we cut ourselves with knives, maybe then our gods will hear. What they should have done was said, you know, maybe this isn't the real God that we ought to be following. Just because there's all these people gathered around that serve the gods of Baal, and just because the numbers are on our side, it doesn't look like it's working out for us like we had hoped to. Maybe we ought to consider the God that Elijah is proposing. But that's not what they did. They just kept trying to go farther and farther and farther to the point that they hurt themselves. Now there's a message on that that I don't know if we'll just completely get to all of that this morning. But it strikes me as something not to go unnoticed. We want to think about that. So that's where Elijah had been. And then he came down and he told, who was it, Ahab, after this had happened, he told them that, well, let me not forget Elijah's prayer. Elijah prayed, and before he prayed for his sacrifice to be consumed, he did something that seemed to defy all reason. What was he asking his sacrifice to be consumed by? they had just gone without rain for a long time. He could have said, I'll have my sacrifice consumed by water from the heavens. Well, they would have laughed at that too. They hadn't had any rain for a long time. But instead, he said, I'm going to pray that the Lord will bring fire down from heaven and he'll consume this sacrifice. But oh, before we do that, I'd like y'all to bring water and put it on this fire, on this sacrifice, and drench it. And they had, water was a scarce commodity at that time. They hadn't had rain. It was a valuable resource. And now Elijah has the audacity to ask for water to pour on his sacrifice, and he's then going to ask for fire to come down and burn a wet sacrifice? That didn't seem to make any sense. Didn't seem to make any sense to the world. And here Elijah is out there seemingly to stand kind of alone. You think he was taking a little bit of risk for the Lord? What do you think would have happened if the fire hadn't come down and his sacrifice hadn't been consumed? What do you think the people would have thought then? They would have been some unhappy folks. Because he just used one of the most valuable, scarce resources they had. He just started pouring water all over the fire. But if he poured water all over the fire, and fire came down from heaven, what were they going to do then? Defy the very God that just sent fire down? No, they weren't going to do that. Elijah stepped out on faith here in a great way. Well, he prayed to the Lord, and fire came down and consumed his sacrifice. And then he went to Ahab and he told him that there was going to be rain and to prepare himself. And so then Elijah went and he prayed 7 times until there appeared a cloud the size of a man's hand. And then he went and he said, the rain is going to come. So this is kind of what brings us to the 19th chapter. And it seemed like that Elijah was... seemed like he was doing okay at the time hanging out with Ahab. He went before Ahab. He was with Ahab. But then something happened. And here's what happened. In the 19th chapter, Ahab came, and for the sake of time, allow me to paraphrase a little bit of this as we go through it. Ahab went and he told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done. And how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of the prophets that you have slain by this time tomorrow. And when he saw that, meaning Elijah, he arose and went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he went himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat under a juniper tree, and he requested that he might just die. Just time to give it up. It looks like this road has come to an end. I guess I'll just give up and die. And he requested the Lord that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. And he lay down under the tree, and it said that the angel came and touched him and said, arise and eat. And so he looked, and there was food, and there was something to drink. And so he got up, and he ate, and he drank, and then he lay down again. And the angel came to him another time, and he said, get up and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and he ate, and he drank, and he went on the strength of the meat that the Lord gave him for 40 days. Long time. The power of the Lord that met him there when he was by himself. And then it said that he arose and he went to a cave. Now he went to a cave. And he lodged himself in a cave. Just kind of withdrawn and went and was hiding out in a cave. And the Lord came along to him. And he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here in this cave? And Elijah said, well, I have been very jealous for the Lord. The Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel, they have all forsaken the covenant. See, the people that I served with, it looks like they've all forsaken, they've all gone their ways, they've thrown down thy altars, they've slain thy prophets with the sword, and I'm the only one left. It's only me now. I tried it, and it looks like everyone else is gone. I'm the only one that's left, and now they're coming to seek my life. And now that's where I am. That's why I'm here in this cave, Lord. That's why I'm going away from everybody. That's why I'm departing. That's why I'm not there to do your work anymore, because I'm the only one left, and they're coming to get me now. And so that's why I'm here in this cave. I don't know what all is going through his mind, but that's kind of some of the thoughts that seem to come out. And the Lord said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake." He sent these powers, but he wasn't dwelling in them. "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Sometimes it seems like we look for all the tangible things, power of the Lord that we can put our finger on. The Lord must be in this. This is where the noise is. This is where the power is. This is where the numbers are. This must be where the Lord is dwelling, where all the people and the power and the energy and the seeming things that are taking place all around us. But that wasn't where the Lord was. It was a still small voice. And he came, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him again, and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Isn't it something that Elijah, he had just witnessed fire come down from heaven and consume a drenched sacrifice with water? He had just slain the prophets. I forgot that. I didn't tell you that before we hit this 19th. After the fire came down from heaven, he proceeded to slay all the prophets of Baal. Elijah did. He had just slain all of the prophets. And talk about a work environment that was, what's the word they use today? Hostile work environment. Talk about a hostile climate. He just started killing the prophets of Baal. And as he's doing one, you got all the others over there watching what he's doing. You would have thought that they could have all turned on him and stopped it. But the power of the Lord was with him. He had just finished slaying the prophets of Baal. The fire just came down from heaven. The rain had just come when it had been missing and absent for however long it was. He had just lain over a dead boy and raised him to life through the power of the Lord just previous to this. He had just spoken the word, and the widow's cruse of oil didn't run out like it should have run out, or the food that she had had. He had just witnessed all the power of God. And now we find Elijah on the word of Jezebel running for the hills and the caves. Look, I don't want to be too hard on Elijah. I don't want to be too hard on Peter when he sank. He was the only one that stepped out of the boat, if you remember right. All the other disciples stayed in the boat. It was Peter's the one that got out of the boat and went and tried to walk on the water. But we always remember Peter sank. But don't forget, he's the one that got out of the boat in the first place. Well, I don't want to be too hard on Elijah. Elijah, look what he had just done. He was human. He was a human being like we are. And he found himself in a place that it just seemed to all come in on him. It just seemed like he started feeling alone and pressed, and now everyone's after me, and now they've threatened me with my life now, and I was trying to do everything right for you, Lord, and now look at what's happening. It's just all this now. I'm the only one left. Do you ever wish that all of your pews were filled in here each Sunday? You ever... You ever wish that there were more people that seem to be fighting the same battle with the same sense of urgency and intensity and desire to serve God above everything else at the expense of your own desires, that you could walk this way with and take strength with and have some additional reinforcements there? You ever wish that? Well, sure. Sometimes we wish that, and sometimes we feel that stronger than others. Now, yes, I know there are times that you can be in a whole group of a whole bunch of people and wish that you didn't have so many people. That's a different message. The devil will work wherever you find yourself. And when you find yourself with few numbers, and you come and there's just a sprinkling of you here on Sundays, the enemy would like to come in and cause you to feel alone, and it's all over with. And we tried to do a work for you, and we wanted to do what was right, Lord, but look at where we are. It just looks like we're the only ones left, and might as well just, I don't even know, Lord, if this is the way that makes sense to go anymore. And sometimes when your numbers are small, and when you couple that with going through a particularly difficult trial, or your emotions are such that you're feeling alone and maybe a little discouraged, and then you look around and there's no one around you, we can be especially and particularly at risk, if you will, for the enemy to come in and take advantage of that. I know that many times we say that, we often say, well, it's not in the numbers. And I agree with that. It's not in the numbers. The Scripture tells us that the way of the Lord, it's a narrow way. It's not the way that the masses go. I understand that. But there's a reason why the Scripture also teaches us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because the Lord knows that we draw strength from each other. He knows that He places different people at different places in His body that we can draw strength from this person in this area, and we can get reinforcement from this person, and this particular talent with this person that they have in the Lord can help us. There's a reason why the Lord said that. Because He wanted us to, the Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a reason for that. And I know that. But I also thought of this passage that we read of Elijah. He was alone. The numbers weren't there. And when you look at the story of Elijah, it seems to me that it was very important for Elijah to stay on the spiritually offensive. Because when he was going in the fear of the Lord by himself, when it looked like all of his food was gone, When it looked like, well, I'm going to starve to death. He could have gone that route too. Lord, looks like there's no water to drink. There's no food to eat. I've been trying to live for you. I guess I'll just lay down and die. Lord, you sent me to this widow, but I get here now, and now her son's dead, and now she doesn't have anything to eat or drink, and I guess I'll just call it quits now. But he was on the spiritually offensive, if you'll let me say it that way. He went in the power of the Lord. And when he was doing that, and he was looking to the Lord to supply additional meal to eat, and additional oil that wouldn't run out, and the boy that had died, that no, we serve a God that can raise him up. And he comes along and he raises him up. And when he saw all the wickedness that was going on with the prophets of Baal, he went and he did what he could to tear that down and to promote the one true God. But he was doing that. He was going with courage. And good things were happening for the Lord. It was when it seemed like the enemy got him in a place where he went on the defensive. Where he started looking around. Like Peter did when he was on the water. He was walking on the water. He was defying all of the natural laws of nature and physics by walking on the water. And while he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was able to do that in the power of the Lord. But when he began to get his eyes off And he began to look around him and look at his, he was by himself and he felt lonely and he was scared because a threat was made against him. It, Scripture tells us that he was ready to just kind of give everything up and die. And the enemy will do that to us just like Jezebel attempted to do it. The enemy will come along and he'll get you when you're weak. He'll get you when you are in a vulnerable place, and he'll try to cause you to look on everything but the true source of strength. Instead of looking to the Lord and looking at what the end goal is and recognizing that Jesus too trod this way alone, that Jesus too went to the cross having been forsaken, not just people kind of move away or die or go away. He was forsaken. Jesus went that way. And he told us a long time ago, he said, if I did it, shouldn't you have to go this way too and take up your cross? And aren't there going to be some times where you're going to have to go this way alone too? But when the enemy gets our eyes off that and we begin just focusing on how we feel and our vulnerabilities, and then we'll get to the place where we too begin to feel like Elijah. Well, I guess maybe this way isn't the way that we thought it was going to be. It looks like this way is just falling apart. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't allow the enemy to discourage you or to move you with those kind of thoughts. Don't allow him to cause you to feel like that you're alone and by yourself, and this life that you've been trying to live for the Lord and keep the covenants and walk is the way that the Lord has taught you to walk, that perhaps it's kind of all in vain now. Be as Joshua, who responded to the word of the Lord when he came to him and he said, okay, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's gone now. The one that you were following, that was leading my people, he's gone. But now it's your turn. It's your turn now. And he told him, he said, arise and go forth and take courage, and I will give you the fruit of the land where you go. And then he gave him some direction. He said, and don't go to the right, and don't go to the left. You continue to keep my commandments just exactly like I've said to keep them. And it's your turn now. And you get up and you go. You know, a lot of times, until you've been in a true leadership position, you can sometimes think that's a pretty warm and fuzzy place to be. But you know, when you're at the front of the pack, there's no one in front of you. And it can be lonely. Whether you're leading an organization or you're leading some sort of group and everyone's looking to you, or whether you're one of the few that's left in a congregation where things need to keep going, and it just seems like that there's no one in front of you if you're the one that the Lord has touched to arise and go forth and lead. And the enemy can take advantage of that. And yet the Lord comes along and he says, it's your turn now. Your turn to get up. It was Moses's. That was his turn back then. But he's not here anymore. And now it's your turn to get up. It's your turn to arise and go forth. And don't change what I've told you before. Don't change and go to the right or to the left of the covenants that I've given you. But you go forward with courage. You see, when you get your eyes off of the Lord, and you begin to feel down, or you begin to feel like it's in vain, like David did when he looked around and started becoming envious against, it seemed like, the prosperity of the wicked. When that begins to happen, what was it that David did? He finally went to the house of the Lord. Then he recognized there was an end to that. And then his perspective began to change when he did that. And he realized, well, there is an end to that. I don't want to go this way. But if you don't go to the sanctuary, if you don't go and refocus and get your eyes on Jesus and the power of the Lord, the enemy will come along and begin to present you with other alternatives. Lots of alternatives. Well, it looks like looks like this way that so much energy was putting in before, it looks like, well, there's not a lot of other people here, and it looks like that this isn't working out very well, and if you made some adjustments, you might be able to bring back the numbers, you might be able to bring back some of the sense of purpose that you had by affecting others. You know, why don't you move to the left just a little bit? You know what the Lord wants. I mean, you've been taught, you know how far to go. You could probably make a little adjustment and everything can be better. See, the enemy will come and begin to present alternatives. I want to have you think about another alternative. And that is, when your numbers get small and the people of God aren't around you to observe you, and you're like Elijah and you're out there kind of by yourself, and you kind of start thinking, you know, the world doesn't think that this is wrong. So if I live like this, they're not going to think of it as being wrong because they don't think about it like that. And the people of God aren't here to see how I'm living. So I'm not going to affect them. I'm not going to, you know, cause any problems with them. And the Lord knows my heart. So I can probably be more effective and be able to plug some of these holes if I move a little bit. That's an alternative that the enemy will bring. That's not a good plan. When the Lord came to Joshua, he said, okay, yes, Moses is gone. Yes, you may wonder how you're going to go on now, because the leader that came and seemed with such strength of the Lord, he's not there anymore. But now it's your turn. Now you get up and don't change how I've taught you to live. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. You just keep the courage. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to deliver deliver the land of Canaan into your hands. I'll lead you across. I'll give you many great victories. But don't change. Live strong. Be strong. Don't be discouraged. Don't begin looking inward. Don't begin looking for the earthquakes and the fires and the wind and those things that seem to cause a lot of energy and get attention. And I'm not always in those things. It's okay if it's still and it's small and you continue to go on your way and just keep your eyes in the power on the Lord and in the power of the Lord, and don't get down because you feel maybe alone. Listen to what he went on and told Elijah. He told him, now he was in this cave, and he came to him again in the 13th verse and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah reiterated to him what he told him before. Well, I was living for you, and I was jealous for you, and I was doing everything I could for you, but now the prophets of you have been slain, and they've torn down your covenants, and I'm the only one left, and now they're after me, and they're going to take my life away. And the Lord said to him, go. In other words, Elijah, you're in a cave. You're hiding out. You were just testifying of the power of who I am and what I have been and what I am. And now you're hiding out in a cave and you're ready to just call it quits and throw up your hands and say, well, maybe it's all in vain now. Maybe I don't need to go forward anymore. You need to get up and you need to go. And he gave him direction and he told him where to go. And then it was like the Lord said, and oh, by the way, Elijah, I just want to let you in on a little something. There's still 7,000 people out there who haven't bowed down to Baal and who haven't kissed him. There's still 7,000. You're not the only one. I still have a people. There's still a people out there that is willing to stand true and not go to the right or to the left. I still have a people that are willing to keep pushing forward, even if the numbers are small, even if they feel like they're by themselves. Elijah, by the way, I still have 7,000 people out there that are living for me. Now, you get up and you go. And the Lord knew that he couldn't go in his own strength. He told him that. He told him that earlier. The journey is too great for you. So he gave him what he needed. But then he had a responsibility. He gave him what he needed. He gave him the direction. But then Elijah, he had a part. What was his part? It was to get up. It was to arise. It was to go forth. It was to maintain a sense of urgency for the Lord. Even if he was by himself, it was to remain zealous of good works. It was to have courage. It was to go forth even when you couldn't see how the answer was going to come, that he was going to go anyway. You think about all the champions of faith, of Joshua himself, who in his dying exhortation said, I don't know where all the rest of y'all are going to go. I don't know how you're going to live. Choose who you're going to serve this day. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord and follow His way, okay. If you want to serve the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood, or if you want to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, you can do that. But I want you to know, I want to go on record this day. It's for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to go to the right or to the left. What do you think, Noah? Do you think he felt anything for 100 years building an ark? You think that people ever got up and said, what in the world are you doing? You've been working on this for a month now and it's never rained. You've been working on this for a year now. Are you crazy? You've been working on this for 20 years now. You've been working on this for 50. You've been working on this for 100 years and it hasn't rained. What are you thinking? Do you think that Noah ever got up and felt like, oh Lord, I mean, I'm the only one that thinks this, maybe I ought to just give this up. You think he ever felt that? I think he did. But he got up and he did it anyway. And he went forward. And he followed the word of the Lord anyway. Saints, this morning, make it your cause to be a champion of faith for the Lord. Make it your cause. Live your life so that you can be put in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as a champion of faith. Live your life like that so that you're a champion of faith. Make it your cause. God will go before you. You may not always see the end. If you don't do that, and you begin to look around, the enemy is going to find you. Just like the animals find, the wild animals find the domesticated or tamer animals, less vicious animals, he looks for the ones who are drawn back. Looks for the ones that are starting to pull away from the pack. And he finds them. Looks for the ones that are lame. The wolves come and they look and they find the weak ones. They find the ones who aren't being as careful. And they take them down. They find the ones who think, well, I can stray over here a little bit. I see where the pack is. I see where my security is. I think I'll be okay over here. The enemy, the scripture tells us, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be aware. Keep your eyes open. Don't deviate from the truth. Don't deviate from holiness and righteousness if you're the only one left standing where you're standing, in the area that you're standing. And you look around and you don't see anyone else living this way. That you have felt in the past where the Lord is saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is right. This is holiness. Don't deviate from it. Don't give up. Don't get down. Don't put yourself out along the fences getting closer and closer to the world because there's no one else, no other pack to follow. Maybe the Lord isn't asking you to follow a pack. Maybe He's asking you, time for you to be a spiritual leader. You get up and you just stick close to where my word is because that's where the safety is. That's where security is. And you need to keep going forward. Be encouraged this morning to do that. People are depending on you. sometimes more people than you realize. Sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself. And yet I can see all of these people that are sort of hidden in the trees that are peering out watching. You think you're all by yourself. You think you're living this way all on your own and to yourself. And yet many, many people are watching your life. You may not see them. You may not recognize them. They don't want you to come where they are. Many of them don't want you to. Some might. But those that need something, they're back there in the trees on the edges and they're watching you out there, staying true, going forward, holding the fort, standing. And they don't want you to come where they are. They want to watch you, and it may be that someday they come out of the trees and they come out and they come join you because that's where the power is. You may not see them. You may not know where they are or who they are. Don't let down. Keep going forward. And yes, there's more than you realize that are standing. There's other people out there that are holding it. That are holding it true. I want to set my face like a flint. I don't want to allow myself to be moved. I want to read a scripture here. Before we close, in the 50th chapter of Isaiah, listen to what he says. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, willing to go against the crowd. This was a prophecy of Jesus, but it applies to us too. Willing to go against those that would come and seemingly take advantage of us. When there was an easier way, I didn't turn my back. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, and moth shall eat them up. What is he talking about? There's an end to that way. Don't go that way. There's an end to it. And when you stick with the way of the Lord, it's a way that will end in a way of peace, in a way of eternal life, in a way of victory. And Jesus said, I've set my face like a flint. I'm not going to turn my back. The Lord is depending on you to be part of the remnant. There's a remnant He's coming back for, and I want to be part of it. If there's just a little part in Monroe, Louisiana, then I want to be part of that remnant in Monroe, Louisiana. If he comes back and there's just a little remnant in Jefferson and Salem and Kaiser and Portland or wherever you live, be part of the remnant when he comes back. When he gave the parable of the lady, I think it was the unjust steward or something, and she kept coming back and asking, and he finally gave her what she wanted, and the Lord said, how much more will I give to my children? But then he, at the very end, this is what captures my attention, he said, I want to give good gifts, but will I find faith when I return? Will he find faith in you? Are you willing? I want to be willing. I want him to find faith in me. He's depending on me to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I don't want to let him down. I want to be part of the remnant. I want to be part of the few. I want to be part of the ones that's left standing. Don't you? Set your face like a flint. Be strong. Don't be moved from where you are. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those who have a perfect heart toward Him. That can be you. It can be me. Every single one of us that decide, okay, Lord, I feel alone, but I'm not going to stay in this cave. I feel a little down, I feel a little exposed, I feel a little threatened, a little bit of uncertainty, maybe a whole lot of uncertainty in front of me. but I'm going to arise. I'm going to go forth. I'm going to set my face like a flint, and I'm going to remember the promises that you gave us in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, that said, He giveth power to the faint. And that they that have no might, He increases strength. That means me. And so when I feel that way, I'm going to get my head back up, I'm going to keep my eyes on the end goal, and I'm going to say, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And I want to have the testimony of the three Hebrew children. Then no matter how bad it looked like the masses were against them. It looked like everybody else was on a whole different plane serving the gods of the land. And trust me, there are many gods in our land today for you to serve. And you have a choice to make. You're going to bow down to them and serve them? No, they're not golden images mostly. Not in the United States. There are in other places. But mostly it's not golden images. But there are many idols that people are bowing down to today, giving their lives to, giving their time to, giving their hearts to, setting their affection on, to the exclusion of the Lord. And you can look around and say, yeah, but if I don't do that, I'm all by myself. And the world doesn't think it's bad. And if I serve this, they're not going to look at me and say, you're a bad person, because they don't think about it that way anymore. That's an alternative the enemy gives you. Be like the three Hebrew children that looked at the king and said, O king, live forever. Be it known unto you this day that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But oh, by the way, we want to let you know that if He doesn't, we will not bow down to this God. We're going to serve the one true God. That's the way that we're going to go. Make that your testimony. Make it your life. Make it your cause. Make it your cause to be a champion of faith. Be a leader in the Lord. Be willing to stand alone. Set your face like a flint. And the Lord has promised us, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And fear not, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if you just keep going this way, one of these days, I'll lead you right in, and you will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Be encouraged this morning. Amen.